You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the score.
Third and eight,
and they come again.
Pressure, look out, and he's going to go down again. Rayshon Jenkins comes from the secondary. And for Caleb Williams, who came into the game having been sacked 60 times, that's six more. 66, by far the most in the league this season.
And look at the confusion they're creating. You have Witherspoon, who ends up coming late. Jenkins over here that ends up pressuring. A couple of the guys on the inside end up dropping. The offensive line's confused. Caleb is confused. And give Mike McDonald and that defensive staff a lot of credit for their third down package in creating that confusion.
One, I can keep communicating to the offensive line. And positivity, constructive criticism, things like that to them. And then how I am maybe in the pocket, how I feel about, you know, certain things in the pocket. So they just have it in mind on their conscience. And then that's a cool thing about football is that everything is a work in progress.
That's Caleb Williams talking about his season. 68 sacks, third most all time. David Carr, number one, with 76. Then Randall Cunningham, number two. Caleb Williams, tied for third, along with somebody named David Carr again. Can you imagine being David Carr, man? I mean, two of the top four seasons all time in terms of sack numbers.
I'd be bruised up.
The man, was damaged. Right. It speaks, and Ann Heron here on 670 The Score. And
did you hear what I shouted at you right before we came back from break, by the way?
I did not, sir. Okay. What'd you say?
All right. I mean, nothing that's fit for air. It didn't seem like you heard me when I shouted it. Like, you already had your headphones on.
I did. Okay. Did you say it in the talkback button?
Well, I let them know in the talkback button. No, but I shouted it at you outside of the talkback.
Missed
button.
It.
Yeah.
Well, no, you want to let the listeners in on it?
Well, I don't know.
Feel like you should.
If Tanny's got a dump button ready. But no, I shouted profanity.
Actually, today, Tanny didn't get the dump button ready. I texted him last night. I said, dude, just be ready tomorrow. And he forgot to get the
button ready. Well, the notoriously potty-mouthed Anthony Heron.
No, but you have to say it now because one of these things that we don't like to do is tell the listener that, hey, I have this thought that I really want to say, but I can't tell you.
I'm generally not a fan of, like, hey, it's okay, say it. We'll just dump it, especially with the new equipment here. Like, yesterday, I hit the dump button and there was a little bit of a delay in the delay.
Oh, now you got to say it.
So, no, that's not what that means.
Is that what that means? This new equipment. I mean, is it going well?
Yeah, everything appears to be in the same position.
Turn your mic off. I'm going to come in there. Tell me what it is, and then I'll tell you if you could say it.
He told us during the break.
I heard it. Well, now this is theater.
Everybody's doing a great job.
He told Speaks to get your bleep together.
Right. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's good enough. He could have just said that.
But now Shane's in here, though.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he came all the way over here. I got to tell him. I'm going to turn my mic off and I'm going to say it to him.
Yeah. I don't know. All right, go ahead.
You're not going to be able to say it on the air.
Okay, yeah. I got it now. Yeah, Tanner, you paraphrased beautifully. All right, well, my bleep is together.
Okay.
It is so together.
Apparently not.
It is so Taguchi. That was my favorite thing about that player, so Taguchi, is just how Taguchi he was. That guy was so Taguchi.
Yeah, I like what you're doing there.
Ant?
Okay, but real quick, now the listener doesn't know why Ant was telling you to get it together.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, but that's
okay. We can't have secrets out here?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you get anxiety. You know, sometimes a little anxiety.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, see me.
Secrets make
fine.
Friends.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, yeah. It's
Robert Downey Jr., by the way, very, very good in that bomb movie.
Which one?
It kind of reminded me of that time that Danny spoiled that movie for you.
Oh, I see.
Sorry, yeah, that was stupid.
There was a Bond film?
Sorry about that, guys.
It's time for me to get my bleep together.
I got to get my stuff together. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. So one of the things I'm most excited about,
right.
Ben Johnson teaching Caleb Williams and really teaching the whole offense. And I don't know exactly how to even discuss it because sacks are often put on the offensive line or they're put on the quarterback. But it's really on both, right? It's like there is a relationship between the quarterback and the offensive line, pre-snap and during, and just conversationally all throughout the season as well, about, you know, where a quarterback has to know what his offensive line can do and help them out by getting rid of the ball. And the offensive line obviously has to help their guy. It's not like every quarterback is expected to go back and have 3.5 seconds with which to hold the ball and the offensive line is blocking perfectly. You know, right. Fix the O-line and there won't be sacks. If you don't get rid of the ball quickly, if you don't, you know, trust your clock and everything. So this relationship between the quarterback and the offensive line, this understanding that clearly Jared Goff and a very good Lions offensive line have is something I'm really looking forward to Ben Johnson teaching.
I feel like this show is having a real negative influence on me right now because now I have all this unnecessary censorship in my head where you began talking about being very excited about Ben Johnson and then you referenced sacks.
Yes.
And then you referenced the clock. And now I'm like, what you're saying makes sense.
Kay.
I just want you to know the reason I'm snickering while I'm looking at you is because I have all this unnecessary censorship just going through my head.
Understood.
While you're describing this.
Understood.
But what you're saying does make perfect sense that we think of him as this great football teacher. Certainly a great schematic mind, if nothing else. Now, he had a veteran quarterback to work with in Jared Goff in Detroit, who'd been through the ringer, who'd seen a million different defenses, who'd had a variety of play callers that he'd worked with, even going back to Jeff Fisher as the head coach and whoever was the OC with the Rams during his rookie year in the mess that was in his rookie season. So he's ridden that wave throughout his career. But all that is still data. You're still diagnosing the opposing defense. You're still going through the mechanics of being a quarterback at the professional level. You're still taking all those sacks in game and figuring out as you go back and evaluate the film where you messed up, what you could have done differently, who was, you know, the read you could have gotten the ball out to. So all that time on task still does matter. So all these hits, all these sacks that Caleb took during his rookie season should still benefit him with a coach like Ben Johnson coming in because what Caleb went through as a rookie, there was a whole lot of time holding the football. A whole lot of sacks that were taken. There was also a lot of positive to work through also in the rookie season that he just went through, what he just experienced historically would have been viewed in the context of that's a very passable, if not quality, rookie year for a young quarterback. It's just now got the modern context of seeing C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels back-to-back years. You go back to Joe Burrow, quality rookie season as well.
Yeah.
So we see the context of other guys who've come, you know, gone really high in the draft and been able to come in and look comfortable more consistently than Caleb did.
Mm-hmm.
But just in historical context, for a guy who's played 3 years worth of college football, it's a lot of positive on his rookie film. So Ben Johnson does have this what's still a moldable lump of clay to work with. But, you know, the idea of him being this molder of young quarterbacks, he hasn't actually had to do that before.
So let's listen to Nick Allegretti, Chicagoland's own, the former guard for the Kansas City Chiefs, and then the guard for the Washington Commanders. And first we had him on this show talking about Patrick Mahomes, and then he talked about Jaden Daniels. You'll hear both, but it speaks directly to this issue. And I want you to tell me, when we get through all this, if this is something that Caleb has started to learn or if he has to start start fresh all over again. This is Allegretti on how Patrick Mahomes handled O-line protections in Kansas City.
I don't know if he'll ever get credit for the football IQ that he has. He made our job at O-line as easy as he possibly could. Calling the protections, reading coverages, and, you know, we'd walk up to the line of scrimmage, and you'd be in the midst of the game, not, you know, maybe you're not sure exactly what's coming, but he'd be like, all right, five down that – oh, sorry. He'd be like, hey, five down 54, 57 comes, I got him. The confidence in himself to just be like, all right, I think 54 is coming. If he comes, O-line's got him. If I'm wrong, I know I'm wrong. 57's coming. I'll throw hot off him. And it's just like you hear the quarterback say that. You're like, all right, we'll block those five guys. Don't got to worry about the other guy if he comes. And normally if he's wrong, he would dice the defense up even more. So just a special talent physically, but the mental side of his game is impressive and something he'll probably not get credit for because it's hard to really see what he does in protections and with rush lanes when he has pressure escaping. All that stuff, it's pretty impressive.
Thought that's really cool insider stuff to get from a guy who played in front of Pat Mahomes, that right. We think of him as this incredible swashbuckling playmaker, but here he is knowing the protections so well that he makes the offensive line better on every single play.
And he's evolved into that point over the years, without a doubt. And Patrick Mahomes deserves a lot of credit for how he's continued to evolve throughout his career, because the innate ability to improvise and to kind of color outside the lines of the schematic design of a play, a lot of that is just kind of intrinsically in him. But to continue to refine his ability to be a snap-in, snap-out, mechanically sound QB and a mentally, you know, adept quarterback at everything he's seeing on the field, that played out so much this season with the limits of the playmakers around him, and still to be able to, you know, end up, you know, with a two-loss season because they didn't do anything in the regular season finale. But this version of Pat Mahomes, that he physically is capable of being far more than what we saw this year, obviously, but he was able to just kind of pare his game down into what the Chiefs needed him to be this season. Whereas with Caleb, you need him to more quickly be able to expand what he can be mentally for the Bears this year.
All right, so there's Pat Mahomes, the perspective on Mahomes. How about Jaden Daniels? So that was the follow-up. Is how did Jaden Daniels do as a rookie? And this is, of course, with Caleb in mind, to ask Nick Allegretti, who played in front of Jaden Daniels, how he handled the protections this year.
He did a tremendous job. So yeah, that was new for me this year, obviously leaving Pat where it was, you know, rinse and repeat. We watched the blitzes. You'd seen pretty much all of them before, and we'd get our plan together. With Jay, it was a little bit new. You know, he was calling, or offensive line was calling a lot of the protections, and he was learning the way that we call them. With the new center this year with Tyler, and he picked it up as the season went along. And then I think the rush lanes thing, like I mentioned with Pat, Jaden really did a great job learning. Because you're gonna, you know, there's gonna be pressure. The defensive linemen are too good in this league to not expect any pressure. So to be able to handle the pressure, know where your escape lanes are, whether it's with your feet or, you know, dropping the ball off to, you know, the running back. He did a great job with that. And then I think if you look at the Tampa game we had in that wild card round, Todd Bowles does an incredible job with the pressures that they bring. We're watching, we played in week one, and then we're watching the tape from the year and watching incredible O-lines, incredible quarterbacks, having free runners every game. It's really hard to be able to pick up their pressures the way that they have, you know, outside backer, defensive end type bodies that can play anywhere from pretty much a four-tech to dropping in coverage. I mean, they're dropping Anthony Nelson. They dropped Vita. I mean, the way that they were able to drop pressures was difficult, and we came up with a plan about midway through the week. We didn't like it. It was not making sense to Jay, to a couple of the linemen. So we devised another plan, and we were pretty happy with that plan. We went into the game. First third down, Jay recognizes it's one of these pressures that it have confused teams all year. Checks us to the check that we put in. We picked it up. The second time, he left our original call on, which was our first way we picked it up, and we picked it up that way too. So we ended up picking it up two different ways, and we kind of put their coordinator in a little bit of a blender that way, because I don't know if any team had picked it up that way. And for Jay to be able to walk out there first third down of a playoff game, see this seven up front and get the O-line going in the right direction as a rookie, I mean, that's some rare stuff.
So that's pretty cool to hear about Jaden Daniels' progression over the course of the year. And ultimately, in the playoffs, to be that good at dealing with protections as a rookie quarterback.
And when you're in a system that starts off very QB-friendly early in the year, and then you sort of get spoon-fed more and more responsibility mentally and pre-snap throughout the year, what stands out to me about that sound is that it's the inverse of what was done with Caleb last season. Shane Waldron threw everything at Caleb Williams from the jump. And I get it. He's supposed to be this generational prospect and all these other things. But you open up the regular season and think about all those times pre-snap where we saw Caleb with late motions and trading protections and evaluating the defense and going with the dummy cadence and then adjusting again over and over again. And that just bogged down the offense so much. And I wouldn't even necessarily say that Caleb seemed consistently overwhelmed just by that, but just how that can end up manifesting itself in the performance of a quarterback who has all that on his plate pre-snap and then post-snap has to continue to try and read the defense, the full field from within the pocket and make the proper pass with all the side adjustments
so this that is he interesting. And the receivers have. This is a takeaway that I didn't expect, but that makes sense because we talked about it during the course of the year as early on, that Caleb was being asked to do more.
Doing a lot, man. Doing so much for this Bears offense. And by comparison, where Jaden Daniels was in a situation early in the year where the Commanders, literally every game through the first half of the season, were running the ball more than they were throwing it. And you didn't see pre-snap Jaden having to do nearly as much as Caleb was. And also, just by comparison, Jaden Daniels had played a lot more football than Caleb had before getting to the National Football League. You know, he's a five-year player.
I wonder if Coleman Shelton was calling all the protections. He wasn't calling all the protections early. Like,
well, there was a lot of communication back and forth. Like when you listen to the Parab mics during the game, as you know, things are kind of silent at certain points pre-snap. Yeah. You can certainly hear times where Coleman Shelton is correcting things that Caleb is trying to audibleize too.
But it sounds like Washington just let the center call him. Just let the center call him.
At least early in the year.
At least early.
Exactly. Early in the season until it got to the point where it was obvious and apparent that Jaden Daniels could handle that. That's how you bring a young quarterback along as opposed to just, you know, saying, here's the fire hose approach.
Sure.
And let's ride this thing out.
You're making me want to fire Shane Waldron again.
Well,
can I do that again?
He'd warrant it. He would certainly warrant another firing.
My God, the stupidity of doing this and having a head coach with like no offensive philosophy of his own is just letting Shane Waldron do what he wanted. And Shane is like, well, this kid's good. Let me just let him do everything. That's not how you're supposed to do it.
Right.
That's not how you're supposed to bring a young quarterback in.
And that's where, you know, to the point I made a little while ago about Ben Johnson, where he had Jared Goff in Detroit. Ben Johnson is a remarkably creative play caller and a grinder of a coach who's come up with all these different, you know, cool schematic things with the immense talent they have to work with, the versatility of athlete both up front and on the outside. But when you have a quarterback who can handle, sure, you know, all those gigs of RAM that's being thrown at him by Ben Johnson, it's going to be a different situation with a second-year quarterback in the first year in his offensive system.
So that's the question. Does Caleb have to relearn the stuff that he learned in year one because the system is different and his center is going to be different and he's trying to do it with Ben? So, like, is this, do we need to look at this, especially in this issue, this protection issue, calling out protections? Should we look at it as a second rookie year for Caleb Williams? Like, should they let the center call out the protections and not ask Caleb to do it all again? Even though he's had a year under his belt and you'd think maybe he could do it, how should they treat this second year?
I mean, it depends on who the center is. Like, if they draft some rookie center, then you're probably better off with Caleb being that guy. But if you bring in a veteran center who's seen all these defenses around the National Football League, then entrust that to him and take it off of Caleb's plate. But if you got a rookie who's going to be in there, some other young, talented football player, some other team's offensive guard who's only played a little bit of center in the NFL, then you got to make that decision between the two guys. But if you bring some vet in here who's been through these battles in the National Football League, who you know can do it, you know, left and right and all over the place, then yeah, let him do that and just allow Caleb to process a lot of other stuff that the quarterback is still going to have to figure out.
Would you do that if you're Ben Johnson or Ryan Pohl? Would you spend for Drew Dahlman, the center from Atlanta, who's the number one free agent center? It's a very thin class of centers, apparently. But you think Caleb would be best served by having a veteran as he installs everything else in this office? Think about everything he's going to have to read after the snap, as you're talking about. Everything he's going to have to adjust to.
Yeah.
You're making me think that a veteran center is a much better idea than a rookie one.
I think that is the better scenario between the two. Yes. Now, you have so many pieces up front that you have to replace. And that's what, you know, it'd be one thing if they just needed a center. They need a center They probably need two guards. Who knows? They may need a left tackle as well. So, I mean, there's a lot that you're definitively replacing up front in addition to the center. So that's a part of the jigsaw puzzle that's going to need to be pieced together between Poles and Johnson. And a veteran center is probably your best case scenario. I mean, honestly, like, Coleman Shelton didn't play horrible last year. So, I mean, you know, I doubt Coleman Shelton comes back here. But Coleman Shelton's going to play center for somebody. Like, his film was fine last year. He's going to play center for somebody else in the NFL next season if it's not here in Chicago. You know, can you upgrade? Can you get better than that? Yes, but if it's Coleman Shelton and then Darnell Wright and three other newer, better starters, like, I mean, Coleman Shelton can play winning football in the NFL, I think.
Would you rather have, would you rather spend for Trey Smith? If you could only spend for one interior lineman free agent at the top of the market, would you rather spend for Trey Smith at the guard or Drew Dahlman at the center and go for an inferior free agent guard, maybe Becton or Zeitler from Detroit, or because I like that idea, you know, what would you do spending wise?
I mean, because you have to replace so much, it ends up depending on the compensation. But if you can get Dahlman for, you know, market value and don't feel like you got to really overspend to get it, then I'd probably err on that side of things, you know, just where can we get a quality piece that's going to be a starter next season to get a center, this big hole that's been there so long? Oh, I mean, yeah, Trey Smith is an excellent football player.
I am so back.
Yeah?
Yeah, like this just felt really good. Just talking to Ant and like thinking about the centers. Maybe it's because I'm a center.
I was going to say, that's probably got to be it. It's just the sexy center talk.
It's just, it's just the sexy center talking, thinking about how important we are as a position group, really, in all of team sports.
You speaking collectively for centers of the world.
As I do. Centers of the world unite, you know, and the shoplifters of the world also unite.
Score listeners don't get to hear from many great centers here on the station, obviously.
Just one, and also old. Just one, and then also that beep button.
I am glad that you're back, though, because remember specifically yesterday when you were saying how much you were dreading today.
Yeah,
right.
Did I say that part out loud?
You did. Yeah, yesterday.
Oh no.
Was that before or after Shane threatened to slap you? Before.
It was before. Okay. It was just because I knew Anthony was going to bring up the snub. I knew he was going to bring up the snub, and he was going to embellish it three different ways during transition, like he did.
Technically, Spiegs brought up the snub.
That's true. I just embellished it. Damn it, you caught it. He's Anthony Herron. I'm Matt Spiegel. That was good stuff. I like that. I'm going to put that in my back pocket and maybe use it for a Ben's Vision in my future. Spiegel and Holmes is the show. Rob Bradford from Odyssey in Boston and the Baseball is in Boring broadcast has been following the Alex Bregman stuff breathlessly and knows the Red Sox very, very well. Let's talk about them beating out the Cubs for Bregman and what he thinks it means. Next on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Ah, can't you see it? a sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.